For those of you who've been here a few weeks, you'll have noticed that we've stripped back some of the liturgy for Advent. Advent is a time of preparation, and it's helpful for us to do this. And I wanted to just remind you on some of the journey that we've been taking over the last few weeks, beginning at the start of Advent, where we thought a little about Jesus' return, ultimate return, and us not really knowing when that's going to happen, not knowing the time or the hour, and for us to therefore be prepared, and Advent being about a season for being prepared. And in the second week, last week, I spoke to you of something of what I felt the Lord was doing with me and in me and through me and for us here, and how he wanted to bless us and for us to be ready for him to come in our presence here today. And I wanted to just give us some time to prepare this morning by thinking a little bit about the words that we read in Acts 3:19. You'll remember last week I spoke a little bit about John the Baptist and his message of saying repent and be baptized. And in Acts we also read, repent therefore and turn to God so that your sins may be wiped out, so that times of refreshing may come. I think there's something important there about turning, repenting, turning to God. After all, that's what repent really means. It just means turning to God. If you're anything like me, the week that's gone past, kind of something about the things that happened last week on Sunday have faded a little bit in my memory, and getting myself up in the morning, getting myself here and getting myself into a place where I feel able to give glory to God and to worship him is quite difficult. And if you read Psalm 57, it says, awake my soul. And those three words I find really helpful because it reminds us that sometimes we just need to stir our own hearts. We need to say, come on, awake my soul and turn towards God, repent of the things that have gone before and just lay those things aside and come to God. So I'm going to hold a little bit of silence now for us to do that and I shall pray as well. Lord, I just ask that you would come by your Spirit and help us ready our hearts today to worship you, Lord, and help us to turn away from the things of this week, either the things that have gone well, the things that have gone badly, the things that are occupying our minds and distracting us from you and who you are. Come, Lord. As I spoke last week, you might remember that I was trying to encourage us to be expectant that God might come in our midst and do things today. And part of doing that was sharing what was happening in my life. And this morning, I was wanting to just reaffirm some of that, that isn't just happening for me, but it's happening for us and for some of you. And following last week, I was able to pray with quite a number of people, helpfully. And as we prayed together, there was a sense that God's Spirit was with us. People were touched and changed and moved and drawn closer to God. So as we come in our worship today, I really want us to be ready that God might again want to come in our midst and bless us and be with us. So just hold on to that thought as we continue through the service. So I'm going to read the collect, which can be found on the This Week sheet at the bottom left, if you'd like to follow it. God, for whom we watch and wait, you sent John the Baptist to prepare the way of your Son. Give us courage to speak the truth, to hunger for justice, and to suffer for the cause of the right with Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. We have our first reading now, the Old Testament reading.
The reading is from Isaiah chapter 35, and it's on page 578 in your Pew Bibles, if you'd like to follow it. The desert and the parched land will be glad. The wilderness will rejoice and blossom. Like the crocus, it will burst into bloom. It will rejoice greatly and shout for joy. The glory of Lebanon will be given to it, the splendor of Carmel and Sharon. They will see the glory of the Lord, the splendor of our God. Strengthen the feeble hands. Steady the knees that give way. Say to those with fearful hearts, be strong. Do not fear. Your God will come. He will come with vengeance, with divine retribution. He will come to save you. Then will the eyes of the blind be opened and the ears of the deaf unstopped. Then will the lame leap like a deer and the mute tongue shout for joy. Water will gush forth in the wilderness and streams in the desert. The burning sand will become a pool, the thirsty ground bubbling springs. In the haunts where jackals once lay, grass and reeds and papyrus will grow. And a highway will be there. It will be called the Way of Holiness. It will be for those who walk on that way. The unclean will not journey on it. Wicked fools will not go about on it. No lion will be there, nor any ravenous beast. They will not be found there. But only the redeemed will walk there. And those the Lord has rescued will return. They will enter Zion with singing. Everlasting joy will crown their heads. Gladness and joy will overtake them, and sorrowing and sighing will flee away. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Would you like to stand for our gospel reading? Hear the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to Matthew.
Glory to you, Lord.
So today's reading is from Matthew 11, 2 to 11. It's on page 792 if you are looking. When John heard in prison what the Messiah was doing, he sent word by his disciples and said to him, "Are you the one who is to come, or are we to wait for another?" Jesus answered them, "Go and tell John what you hear and see. The blind receive their sight, the lame walk, the lepers are cleansed, the deaf hear, and the dead are raised, and the poor have good news brought to them, and blessed is anyone who takes no offence at me." As they went away, Jesus began to speak to the crowds about John. "What did you go out into the wilderness to look at? A reed shaken by the wind? What then did you go out to see? Someone dressed in soft robes? Look, those who wear soft robes are in royal palaces. What then did you go out to see? A prophet? Yes, I tell you, and more than a prophet, this is the one about whom it is written, 'See, I am sending my messenger ahead of you, who will prepare your way before you.' Truly, I tell you, among those born of women, no one has arisen greater than John the Baptist, yet the least in the kingdom of heaven is greater than he." This is the gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
Lord, I just ask that you would bless us as we hear from Gavin, and bless Gavin as he speaks to us this morning. Thank you, Lord. Amen. Please do take a seat.
I wonder how you got on voting this week. Did you find it easy to choose the party that you wanted? Did you go and pore through all their manifestos and sort of work out which one you agreed with the most? Yeah, I know you did. I know you did. Well, this morning, here's a completely different take. Isaiah chapter 35 is essentially God's manifesto for the world. If you want to know what God's purposes are for the world, then this is it in one short chapter. This is what the world would look like if God were fully in control and in charge. In verse 2, it talks about this is what the world would be like if it was filled with the glory and the majesty of God. And I have to say, it looks a bit better than our party politics manifestos. Verses 3 and 4, it talks about God will establish justice. The weak will be protected. Fearful victims will be encouraged. Imagine that for victims of injustice in our society. Imagine somebody who has lost a relative in Grenfell Tower who's been fighting for justice. Imagine somebody who's had to flee from their homeland because they're being pursued because of their ethnicity. Well, God is saying, to you I will bring justice. In verses 5 and 6, he says, I'm not just going to do justice, I'm going to do healing. And the blind will see, the deaf will hear, the lame will walk, the mute will speak. Imagine someone you know who's been struggling with walking. Perhaps they're having a bit of trouble with their hip and are waiting for an operation. Perhaps their eyes are starting to fade and they find it more and more difficult. Imagine their hearing is going and they find it difficult when they're in a crowded room. Well, God says, to people like that, I'm going to bring healing. You're all going to be well. You're all going to be whole. I'm going to bring justice, I'm going to bring healing, I'm also going to bring plenty, God says in verses 6 and 7. There's going to be water where previously it was just a desert. There's going to be vegetation springing up and reeds growing and there'll be food aplenty. Imagine what that sounds like to somebody who might be wondering whether this week before Christmas they might need to go to the Fair and Food Bank in order to make it through the week. I'm going to bring justice, I'm going to bring healing, I'm going to bring plenty, I'm going to bring safety, he says. In verse 4, no one's going to be fearful anymore. In verse 9, I'm going to put an end to lion attacks. Okay, you might not be that worried about lion attacks. But God is saying there's going to be security. People are not going to be afraid. There's going to be no more attacks, nothing to be fearful of. Imagine how that sounds to somebody who feels they have to lock themselves away in their own home. They're afraid to go out. They worry about people coming and attacking them. This is what the world would look like if it was filled with the glory and the majesty of God, it says in verse 2. And I think that sounds pretty great. I'm in favour of that. I'm wondering where to vote. The question really, though, is when is God talking about? Is he talking about something that's already happened in the past for his people? Is he talking about something that's happening for us now? Is he talking about something that is happening in the future? And the answer is yes, all of those. Let's have a quick whiz through what God is talking about in Isaiah chapter 34. He's talking, first of all, about the people of God in exile. The exile, with a capital T and a capital E, is a really important event in the Old Testament. If you've been struggling to understand the prophets on the Bible reading plan that we've been doing, then it may be that you haven't fully understood how significant the exile is for the people of God. They're brought out of Egypt. God teaches them in the wilderness how to live well. Eventually, they make it into the promised land, but very soon they rebel against God. And in judgment for that, they are, God allows them to be taken off into exile. And the prophets are people who are warning that that's coming before it comes. They're also people who are in exile, encouraging the people, saying, no, it isn't over. God hasn't forgotten you. You're not just going to be dispersed and disappear. There is a hope and a future. And they're also, right at the end, helping the exiles to come back and to re-establish what it is to be the people of God in the land. And so in Isaiah chapter 35, he talks about the highway that's going to bring his people back from the exile. You can imagine he's like saying there's going to be a brand new motorway with three lanes and it's going to be super fast. You're going to be brought right back to your homes. So there is hope for people in exile. But that's not all that Isaiah chapter 35 is about, because those people did come back. They did end up back in the land, but it never felt to them like they had properly returned. There was always a bit of a muddle around what was going on with the temple. They had a real trouble rebuilding it and rebuilding the city of Jerusalem. And even when they did, it didn't feel as if God had returned in that same glory that there was there before they'd gone off into exile. And then they find themselves overrun by a whole series of overlords, a whole series of invaders who come in and tell them what to do and are really the ones in control of the land. By the time we get to the time of Jesus, of course, the latest conquering army that is over the people of God are the Romans. And so these people who have returned from exile are searching the Old Testament, going, well, we know God is faithful. We know that he has these good plans for us. What's it going to look like? And they notice all sorts of things. Now, in hindsight, it's really difficult for us not to go, well, they're talking about Jesus, isn't it? Because it's obvious to us. They notice that there's a line of David, that there's a promise that David, a king in the line of David, is going to come along. There's going to be a Davidic king. They notice that there's a prophetic tradition that says that this person who comes to save is going to suffer on behalf of all the people. There's a bit in Ezekiel that talks about a shepherd coming to gather together the lost flock. And throughout the prophets, there's this slight tension between whether God himself is going to do this or whether it's going to be a human being. They're not really sure what this Messiah is going to look like. To us in hindsight, it's obvious that all of those things describe who Jesus is. He is God. He is a human. He is in the Davidic line. He is going to suffer. He is the shepherd who gathers God's people. But they weren't so sure. And so we hear in our gospel reading how John's disciples come and say, well, are you the one we're waiting for? Are you the one who is finally going to deliver these promises that God made? And the response from Jesus is almost like he's got a copy of Isaiah chapter 35 in his back pocket, isn't it? And he pulls it out and he says, well, I've got the manifesto here. Here's the things that God promised. You're going to see people healed. You're going to see the blind having their eyes opened. You're going to have the deaf being able to hear. You're going to be seeing good news to the poor. You're even going to see the resurrection of the dead. So read the manifesto. Is this what God promised or isn't it? That is the promise for now. If Isaiah 35 was originally for the people of God in exile, then it is also for us right now, because we live in that era of Jesus. The Spirit of Jesus fills us. This is what Jesus was talking about when he said the kingdom of God is drawing near. There are moments when, filled with the Holy Spirit, the kingdom of God breaks out. And just as Jesus went around healing people, so his followers in Acts went around healing people. And so we continue to pray for healing. We pray that when somebody is with us and we notice that they're not well, we offer to pray for them. And we pray that God will heal them, because we're looking for a breaking in of the kingdom of God. It's that same hope in Isaiah chapter 35. It's like we're holding up the manifesto to God and saying, it says here, you're going to heal. We would love to see that here and now. And it breaks in, doesn't it? Sometimes when we pray for people, they are miraculously, amazingly healed. But sometimes they're not. And so it's a bit like the exiles getting back to the promised land and saying, well, we thought this was what you were talking about, God, but there seems to be bits of this that aren't fulfilled yet. And so it is with us. We have the Spirit of Jesus. We see the kingdom breaking in, but it doesn't always break in. And there still seems to be an awful lot that is wrong with our world. We long to see that justice and that healing and that plenty and that safety. And we pray for it and we look for it. And sometimes the kingdom of God draws near and we see it. But sometimes we don't. And that's where this is a promise, a manifesto from God, not just for the people of God in Israel, not just for us, the people of Jesus, filled with his Spirit, but this is also a promise for what is to come. This is our hope. Hope is a theme that has emerged during these Advent sermons as we've been going along. Advent is a season when we remember not just that Jesus came as a baby at Christmas, but that he is coming again. And that the story isn't over yet. That it has begun because Jesus has turned up and the story has started, but we're living in this now and not yet sort of phase where Jesus has begun the project of the restoration of the world, but we're still waiting for that final completion. And we catch a glimpse of it right at the very end of the Bible, right at the end of the last couple of chapters of Revelation, when we read about what that will look like. When Jesus returns There will be a new creation. The things that are here now will be renewed. The heaven and the earth will come together. God himself will dwell with his people. The new Jerusalem will be built, this beautiful and really secure city where God's people will dwell in safety. And then those phrases that we read so often in funerals, but they're really a promise for all of us. This is our destiny. There will be no more death. There will be no more crying. There will be no more pain. There will be no more mourning, because God will be with his people. That really is our hope, that this manifesto from Isaiah chapter 35 has not yet been fulfilled. It isn't time yet to file it away and say, well, that's another election done with. It is still to come. That is our Advent hope. And I hope that that does fill you with hope. Because whatever you are facing right now, whether you are facing a wild injustice where you feel very unfairly criticized, whether you feel that you have been on the receiving end of treatment that is completely unfair, well, there is justice to come. If you are struggling with your sight or with your hearing or with getting about, then there is healing to come. If you are worried about how you're going to manage, if you are worried about whether you will have enough, then there is plenty to come. If you are worried about being isolated and lonely and vulnerable, then there is safety to come. This is the hope that God has promised us. And it means that wherever we are now, we can pray for that kingdom to break in, and we can pray for God's perseverance to carry on. It's an amazing vision of what is to come. And as God's people, I hope that we can not only hold on to this for ourselves, but share this amazing good news that a time of justice, healing, plenty, and safety, it is coming. It is coming. Let's get ready. Shall we pray? Thank you, Heavenly Father, for your promises, of your purposes for this world. Thank you that you made it and you love it and you are not content with all the things that have gone wrong in it. Thank you for that promise of what is to come. We pray that you will help us to put our hope firmly in you, that we would look to you in all circumstances, that we would remember your faithfulness and rely on you. In Jesus' name, amen.
We've helpfully have a little time and space to respond appropriately now to what Gavin said to us. And it strikes me that Jesus did a lot of these things, praying, healing the sick, many of the things that Gavin talked about. And those are good things that he taught us to do. We read in the Lord's Prayer, don't we? You know, he taught us to pray, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. So these are things that Jesus anticipated that we would also pray for one another. But before Jesus did any of that stuff, the first thing he did was to receive the Spirit. And, you know, we also read in Acts, don't we, that the New Testament church met in the upper room. They waited on the Holy Spirit to come before they were then transformed and went out and performed miracles like Jesus did. And so it'd be good for us, first of all, to just pray and ask the Spirit to come amongst us, to bless us and to be with us. I find it personally helpful to sit with my hands open to do this, just as a way of being receptive to God to receive something, like receiving a gift. Some of you might have different ways that you like to do that, but I'm just going to pray and hold a little silence and ask God to come. And if anything happens to break that silence, don't be alarmed. Sometimes that does happen. Sometimes it doesn't. But we're going to ask the Lord to come. Holy Spirit, would you fall? Would you bless us? Would you come and fill us? We need you, Lord. And do you feel that sometimes there is a danger that we expect or we might need there to be something happening in order to feel or to know that the Spirit is with us? But that's not necessarily the case. So if nothing's happening for you right now, that's fine. That doesn't mean the Spirit is not with us. But Lord, we do ask you to come, to fill us, and to be with us. I'm going to ask you to do something else now. If you're able, in a moment, I'd like you to stand. In the light of what Gavin said, it's good then for us to pray for one another. And so I'm going to ask you, when you stand, to turn in and to face one another. And then, trusting that the Spirit is with us, ask him just to show you somebody within the room who you might pray for. I'm not necessarily asking you to go up to them and speak to them. I'm just asking you to pray for a distance, for God to be with them and to move in their lives. If you feel particularly moved to do so, be brave and do go and speak to them. Do go and ask them if you can pray for them, if you can lay a hand on the shoulder and just say a few words of encouragement. Okay, so if you'd like to stand, and if don't feel you have to stand, feel free, feel liberated. If you need to stay seated, that's fine. And then perhaps turn in to one another. And Lord, I just ask that you would show us and bless us to know who to pray for and how to pray. And we can hold silence and just look. Or if you feel you want to talk to the person next to you or pray for somebody out loud, please do so. Finally, I'm going to ask you now to turn outwards to face the outside. And the reason for that is, you know, if we're praying God's kingdom come and God's will be done, and we've heard from Gavin that, you know, God's kingdom looks like, you know, justice, and it looks like dealing with lion attacks and all the rest of it, okay? Let's pray for our world out there. Let's pray for the people beyond these walls, that God's kingdom would come for them, that justice would be done to right the world's wrongs. So just turn your minds to the things and the people who are outside of our community and outside of this building and pray for them. Lord, pray that you would come and be with us and show us how to pray for our world and for our community, Lord. And finally, before I hand over to Gavin for the peace, I think it would be helpful if we said the words of the Lord's Prayer together, which can be found at the bottom of page 3, if you don't know them off by heart. I know we're going to pray it again later, but I just feel it's appropriate in this moment to do so again. So we say, Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who sin against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen.